A lot of what the industry talks about is the connection delays and issues with actually getting connection agreements. But what we're also seeing is that there's been delays at the DNO stage, so actually connecting to the grid. We've had some big announcements. We've got the TIS-Works, Hornsey.
1 gigawatt, 4 gigawatt yeah. hours.
Yes.
That is mad. What's the latest from the benchmark? How much is the fleet earning?
We've hit the £100 per megawatt hour mark, which we hadn't done so far this year.
This is like significantly different to what you would expect, yeah. right? I guess we've also seen a few more longer actions for constraint reasons. It's key to unlocking further investment in the sector, because we need to see batteries being used for constraint purposes, because we know how big a problem this is going to be going forward.
Hello everybody, and welcome back to Transmission. In today's episode, Modo Energy's Director of Data Science, Robin Lucas, and market analyst Shania Holness-McKenzie take a look at what has changed for the battery landscape in Great Britain over the first 6 months of 2024. The conversation covers progress on build-out of batteries, storage revenues and the driving factors behind them, market changes, and much more. As always, if you are enjoying the podcast, please hit subscribe so you never miss an episode, and give us a rating wherever you listen. Let's jump in.
Hiya, it's Shania here on today's episode of the Transmission Podcast. We're going to be getting into the first 6 months of 2024, and I'm joined with the lovely Robin.
Hello, Shania. Very excited to get into today's conversation, talking about the first 6 months of this year, because we are currently on the 4th of July, Election Day. Ooh. Oh my goodness, we'll delve into that a little bit later. But yeah, give you a little roundup of where battery energy storage is in the UK at the moment and what's changed over the last 6 months.
Yes.
So currently we are, what, 4 gigawatts, 5.2 gigawatt hours?
Yeah.
So how has that build out changed over the last 6 months?
Well, we've definitely seen a slowdown in build out rates in these first 6 months of the year, especially compared to 2023. It was a record breaking year. Each quarter in 2023, we saw an average of 400 megawatts come online. By this time in the year last year, we had seen almost 800 megawatts come online, whereas this point in the year now, we've seen just over 300 megawatts come online.
Less than half of what we got to this time last year.
Yeah, we're at about 320 megawatts.
And was most of that in Q1?
Yes, so in Q1 we got 184 megawatts, and then Q2 we're looking at about 130 megawatts, 140 megawatts.
Big slowdown.
Yeah.
What do you think is driving that?
So last year, at the end of last year, I was reaching out to people to find out what it is that's kind of causing delays. So to be frank, we've been seeing a lot of delays. A lot of what the industry talks about is the connection delays and issues with actually getting connection agreements. But what we're also seeing is that there's been delays at the DNO stage, so actually connecting to the grid. Anecdotally, I've heard that there's a lot of setbacks there with regards to like timelines and actually getting your battery, even once it's up and running, getting it actually connected. It's
kind of like the final G99 testing that's taking a bit longer.
Yeah, and then there's been also issues with equipment as well, and just if equipment isn't working, how long it's taken to actually get replacements and things like that. Some people have mentioned delays of up to, you know, potentially 2 years with regards to some of the equipment that they've had issues with. But the hope is that these are short-term delays and that things will start to fix themselves. And especially looking at the next quarter, so Q3, by the end of the quarter, we'd hope that we'd see all those units which are expected for the capacity market year come online. So I'm hoping that next quarter will be a nice big, a big quarter. I think there's like over 1 gigawatt in the pipeline
that could come online in Q3.
Yeah, but in terms of a projection, it's probably more around your 360 to 390 megawatts I'd probably expect to see next quarter. Yeah, I'm really hoping that, because the capacity market is that thing where, especially because those first few months are where you kind of make your most revenues as well, because
there's
different,
always a big drive weighted. To get batteries online for the winter. Yeah,
and we could potentially see a big 200 megawatt asset come online before the end of the year as well, because that one has a stability pathfinder contract as well, which actually should have started earlier this year, but I don't believe that there's any penalties for a late start on that one.
Right.
So there's less incentive there, I guess, to get it online. But with the capacity market starting, they do have a capacity market agreement for this year. So far, we've only had one 100 megawatt unit where the whole unit itself is 100 megawatts.
So Dolimans as well.
Yeah. So this will be our next big one. Yeah.
I guess this is a trend we're continuing to see, right? Bigger sites are coming online.
Yeah, we've got even this quarter or in the past 6 months, we've had some big announcements. We've got the TIS-Works battery is about 1 gigawatt. We've got Hornsey.
1 gigawatt, 4 gigawatt yeah. hours.
Yes.
That is mad.
Yeah, so and that's the other thing as well. As well as seeing bigger power ratings, we're also seeing more higher durations and yeah. and yeah, so it'll be interesting to see how these batteries do as well.
Yeah, we also had really interesting site this past quarter actually. Hornsey is a big co-located asset with the wind farm that we did some forecasting work for. So it's a 300 megawatt, 600 megawatt hour site, which went through FID. We've also got Sellerhead, which is another 300 megawatt site being announced recently, and also an SSE site, which is Monk Fryston. I hope I'm saying that right.
Fryston, yeah.
320 meg. So really the number of bigger sites is really ramping up, which yeah. means that, you know, you have one of those coming online in a quarter and suddenly you're getting to, you know, the kind of build out that we've been seeing so far with all of the smaller sites.
Yeah, by 2027, almost half of, or potentially half of the capacity online will come from units that are at least 100 megawatts.
Wow.
So yeah, we're going to start seeing some.
Very good for the build out.
Yeah, we were potentially going to see, so there's 1 gigawatt's worth of power that could have come online this year from just three sites alone.
Mm.
And two of those sites we were expecting to see in the last quarter. But I mean, it probably was a bit optimistic to think that we might see like a 400 megawatt site come online. So we might not see those again until 2026 or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, it could have been a big one this quarter, the last quarter. But yeah, it didn't happen, unfortunately.
I guess you kind of frame it in the wider picture of what's going on. And obviously 2023, we had really low revenues.
Mm-hmm.
And those have picked up a little bit. We'll talk about this a bit more in a second, but yes. they have picked up a bit more in the last few months. But that coupled with CapEx numbers for batteries. So I don't know what stage all of those big sites would be, but if they're placing their orders now versus six months ago for the cells, they would get significantly cheaper prices now, perhaps.
Yeah.
So it might be people waiting a little bit longer to see where CapEx numbers fall yeah. to, because, you know, they seem to keep dropping. And that means that even with lower revenues, because your CapEx is lower,
mm-hmm.
your IRRs and your hurdle rates we're actually seeing go up.
Okay.
Which is really yeah. good for the sector.
That's good. One thing as well to comment on with regards to maybe the what seems like a slow half of the year. One thing that I did notice in like mostly the end of last year and a little bit at the beginning of this year is that we're seeing, I guess you could call them stealth batteries, where maybe we don't necessarily see them in the frequency response markets or the balancing mechanism, but they are already up and running, they're generating revenue. So potentially there could be some assets like that which came online in the past 6 months, but from I can't see them, but they are generating.
We know that they're revenue. Online yeah. conversations, so, but we're so, just yeah. waiting to see them in the actual data yeah. to see them.
So potentially that 140 megawatt number could go up. So yeah, we'll see. We'll watch this space.
I guess other things to talk about in the last 6 months and in terms of big project announcements is not on new sites coming through, but actually announcements on route to market agreements. So
yes.
we heard the really big deal being announced with Gresham and Octopus, mm-hmm. which is a tolling agreement on half of Gresham's portfolio. So that is 14 of their projects with a kind of indicative number of £56,000 per megawatt per year
okay.
of the tolling number. So what that means is Gresham will receive a fixed price of that kind of ballpark number mm-hmm. for all of the sites that Octopus are sort of leasing off them, and they don't see any of the upside, but they have that secure long-term revenue, which given kind of recent revenue figures is really good for them yeah. and really good for Octopus. It's kind of giving Octopus a massive jump into the market with a fairly sizable portfolio. I think in total it's like over 500 megawatts once they get all of the sites, which will happen over 6 months or so, which, you know, previously Octopus haven't really been in the market in a big way. They've been operating the Emirates battery, which is it's actually slightly bigger than that, sub 5 meg battery that sits in the Arsenal Stadium, which is super cool, pet project of mine back in the day. But yeah, this is obviously giving them a huge like jump into the market. So yeah. it'd be very interesting to see, you know, what they're doing with those first few sites, because I should think that they are far more focused on the balancing mechanism, whereas a lot of Gresham's assets historically have not been in the BM, whereas Octopus's focus is very much on kind of flexibility that the system operator has visibility of via the BM. So yeah, big one to watch out. And we recently put, in fact, today's podcast episode as we're filming this was with Ben Guest and Quentin talking that through. So do check out that if you want any more information on that deal, because it's really just a sign of the market maturing. These much bigger deals, much more kind of secure long-term revenue streams outside of kind of traditional National Grid type contracts.
And just to also add to that, and with regards to build out and maybe people doing things differently. So Gresham House as well also announced that they're going to be upgrading a lot of their units, the durations of a lot of their units. I think they're trying to add an extra 330 megawatt hours to their sites by the end of the year. So yeah, there's a lot of ways people are kind of getting around some of the issues that we're seeing.
Like in the initial earlier sites that are 1 hour and 1 hour in duration and probably now less than 1 hour, which starts to be quite a limiting factor. They're going to repower those sites. And we heard recently that the cost of putting an extra megawatt hour on a site is actually pretty low. It was like $100 or so, which is certainly less than I would have thought if I'd have picked a number out of the air. So yeah, really, I think the message is CapEx is falling in this quarter. Okay, so coming on to revenues, what's the latest from the benchmark? How much is the fleet earning?
So it wasn't looking good at the start of the year. It wasn't looking great at the start of the year, let's say that. January and February, if we include the capacity market, we were seeing around £37,000 per megawatt per year, which, wasn't...
For January and February, just like the average. Highest months.
Yeah.
And quite painful, actually.
Yeah, and as I mentioned with the capacity market, there's... prices can change month, not that they change, but prices are relative to the month that you're in. So that in January and February, they actually account, capacity market actually accounted for more of the proportion of revenues that batteries were receiving versus more recent months.
I guess it was mainly driven by fairly flat wholesale prices, quite a lot of wind. It was quite warm.
Yeah.
We had quite a lot of capacity on system. There wasn't any scarcity, really, not much low margin.
Yeah.
Okay, so January, Feb, pretty painful. Moving on to March.
So in March, we did see revenues go up. We had the introduction of the balancing reserve. This also helped to push frequency response revenues up. We also saw an increase in wholesale spreads. So in general, things were looking better.
That's good.
In March, which was good. Then in April, we had that period of high wind.
Oh, so this is like the few days in April that everyone's spouting about being the future of batteries.
Yes, because we saw a lot of negative pricing, which is obviously very good for batteries. They can work on those spreads. So we went up to about £56,000 per megawatt.
Okay,
per year,
so
in that
jumping
one.
Up from 37 in January and February and going up to 56, that's a pretty big jump.
Yeah, and again, that is including capacity market as well. At this time, it ended up making up a lower price.
Okay, so it's genuinely like really quite significant wholesale spreads, largely from negative pricing driven by high wind, which is definitely something we will see going forward.
Yep. Then May, unfortunately, the wind went down and so the revenues went down with it.
I mean, it's a super interesting thing that we're seeing now. There's some real clear correlation between actual battery revenues and the wind.
Yeah, there was a chart that I put out sometime, I think it was near the end of April or maybe at the beginning of May, which literally showed the best index tracking against wind generation. And it was pretty much in line, which we hadn't really seen before, because of course wind generation can go up, but you might not see that increase in revenues. But in that period of time, it really was tracking closely.
Let's dig into why that is soon. And then it's June.
Yeah, May we were down, and then June we went back up. So we went to about £49,000 per megawatt per year at the moment. So gas prices went up. We also saw some more high wind generation, which meant that spreads were really good, because you've got the high wind generation bringing prices lower, but then you've also got the gas prices increasing. So yeah, so those wholesale spreads came in again. Actually, I think we've seen the highest wholesale spreads of the year. We've hit the £100 per megawatt hour mark, which we hadn't done so far this year. So in June.
Okay, this is like significantly different to what you would expect. Right, your highest wholesale spreads of the year are in June. That is not what you imagine as like a peaking plan.
So it'll be interesting to see how that changes throughout the year. I think we're expecting the gas prices to continue to
curve is, I was just looking at it, it's been going up a little bit over the last few weeks, so be interesting to see how that continues going forward. So June revenues are a little bit down on April, but you know, pretty significant for a summer month, and some like fundamental changes in what's driving these spreads.
Yep.
So really we're seeing masses of wind generation driving negative pricing, the increases in gas prices. So over the last month, gas prices on the forward curves have gone up like 10% or so, presumably driven by, you know, geopolitical events in the world, uncertainties around elections, outcomes of, you know, a lot of far-right politics coming in, whether it's in France or what's going to happen in the American election. Obviously, the UK election as well is causing a whole load of uncertainty, along with a couple of wars. So we're really seeing quite significant changes in kind of the fundamental makeup of the market. And that, it turns out, is good for battery revenues because we're seeing the biggest spreads. I think that's amazing, actually, that summer prices, we're seeing the highest spreads of the year so far. And that is something we're going to see going forward, really driven by negative pricing. Okay, so what major market changes have we seen in the last 6 months?
Yes, I'd say one area in particular that's seen a lot of big changes has been the balancing mechanism.
Right, awesome. Yes. We really needed to see some changes there.
Yes, we did. And in particular, the first one we had was the open balancing platform, which initially came around at the end of 2023, so in December, but I'd say for batteries it really kicked off in January.
Okay, so open balancing platform, that is a program of works within the control room to try and update some of the IT systems, specifically around manual dispatch within the control room for utilizing sort of smaller, more flexible assets. So I think the launch was with the bulk dispatch tool. So this was where you could send out lots of instructions which were via an algorithm as opposed to kind of people clicking on buttons.
Yes, yeah. So that was one of the big limitations that batteries were experiencing within the balancing mechanism previously. You've got lots of them. They're quite small compared to other technologies that are within the balancing mechanism. So it meant that it was a lot more difficult for them to be dispatched.
Hence why historically we haven't really seen very strong revenues in the BM.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But then this OBP was put in and we've got bulk dispatch now, which really kicked off at the beginning of January. As a result, it really did help to fix efficiency within the battery zone. So within, between different batteries, we saw less of a reliance on bigger units, which maybe historically were easier to dispatch because you're getting a lot more power out of them in
so
one go.
We were seeing a handful of batteries get used quite a lot in the BM.
Yeah.
And with the launch of bulk dispatch, we're now seeing lots more batteries get used perhaps for small actions.
Yeah. So we saw the number of actions increase. We saw dispatch rates for smaller units increase. Maybe for some of the bigger units, it might have come down a little bit. But overall, we saw a bit more of a uniformity. I don't know if that's the word. So it became a bit more uniform.
Actually,
course.
You see like things like price having much more of an impact on your dispatch rate than you perhaps historically saw, which is great. And overall, the volumes did go up a bit.
Yeah, we saw a little bit of an increase, but the main thing that it proved was that it works.
Okay, so so overall we saw dispatch rates go up a little bit, but no major kind of golden ticket to high battery revenues in the BM just from bulk dispatch.
No, but
soon
after, in March, we had the introduction of the 30-minute rule.
Woohoo! What does that mean?
Yes, so previously, within the balancing mechanism, batteries were operating off of this 15-minute rule, which was, to summarize, it essentially meant ESO can know within in the next 15 minutes, how much power do you have available to dispatch?
Okay.
And the issue with that is that we saw 69% of volume in the balancing mechanism comes from dispatches which last up to 30 minutes. So by being limited to this 15 minute rule, it meant that batteries weren't able to have that.
So before before we get started with any kind of price, any kind of location, already you're only accessing like 30% of the total volume available in the BM just because of this 15 minute rule. Okay, so we had the introduction of this 30-minute rule, which actually has made quite a big difference to dispatch volumes.
Yeah, so previously, before the rule was introduced, the dispatch rate was maybe at about 4%, 5%.
Yeah.
And then now we're seeing it closer to 10, 11% more regularly. So yes, it's been pretty good for batteries.
I guess we've also seen a few more longer actions for constraint reasons.
Yes. So that's the other thing, is that it also opens batteries up to this kind of constraint management aspect of the balancing mechanism, particularly in Scotland, where we've got a lot of high wind generation. So units in the north of Scotland in particular, where the wind generation is highest, but is constrained at the B4 boundary.
Mm-hmm.
We have seen an increase in battery dispatches there. This is something that ESO have been specifically trying to improve, is utilization of not just batteries but of these smaller units within constraints. And I think that there's a lot of work going into improving constraint management in general, so hopefully we'll see some things come out over the next
really key, particularly thinking about how many batteries we now have on the B6 and also, you know, on the B4 in northern Scotland. Is key to unlocking further investment in the sector, because we need to see batteries being used for constraint purposes, because we know how big a problem this is going to be going forward.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. I guess it kind of comes hand in hand with this whole new service, which we touched on earlier, which is Balancing Reserve.
Yes.
So Balancing Reserve is procured at the day ahead, and it's for each individual settlement period. And it's so that the control room can be assured of having a certain amount of flexibility when they need it. And the prices in that service, on the negative reserve, it's got a cap of £1.50. So we're not seeing it, you know, it's no major revenues coming through the negative reserve, and the positive is only going up to like £3 or so. So not a massive increase in terms of the revenue stack. However, what it's enabling is this kind of very new strategy we've seen in the last 6 months, which is combination of balancing reserve and really high BM utilization.
Yes.
And we're seeing some sites, particularly as we've just been saying, like where location is more critical, that they're getting bids and offers, and like a lot of bids and offers within a single settlement period or within a couple of settlement periods. So you can kind of manage your state of charge, and you see that actually your BM revenues on some days are really quite high, which is great.
Yeah, for sure. Like another reason why that 30-minute rule was introduced was to support batteries being entered into balancing reserve. And despite the prices being not particularly high at the moment, it still has really helped to kind of give a boost to the battery revenues overall.
Yeah, and I guess it's worth pointing out that it's not purely batteries in the this market. The price is often being set by gas peakers.
Yeah.
Which is different compared to the other ancillary services that we see.
Yeah. One thing which might be interesting to note is that there's already kind of talks about, I guess you could call it, reform within balancing reserve. Because ESO are seeing maybe people are participating in a way that they didn't expect. So for example, if you were to have several settlement periods of reserve, or you're expected to have reserve in several settlement periods, you might price yourself higher in the balancing mechanism so that you're not used. And they're like, oh, I'm not sure if that's the way that you should do it.
These are commercial entities, and they're going to try and get as much money from these strategies as possible, but it might not be exactly what the control room would want.
Yes.
Obviously. Yeah. So maybe we'll see some changes to that service as it matures. I mean, inevitably with new services, you always get a little bit of kind of volatility in terms of prices and behaviours, let's say.
Yes.
The other thing to add is over winter, National Grid have said that they're going to procure a lot more of it, and it's really tied to how much wind is going to be online. So particularly during gusty periods, we might expect up to 2 gigawatts of balancing reserve, which actually could be quite significant in terms of the battery fleet. Maybe moving on to what the recently published Winter Outlook is saying. So in terms of this winter, what kind of wholesale spreads do you think we're going to see?
Yeah, so based on ESO's expectations of system conditions and with regards to what generation we might see on the grid, initially you might expect that spreads will remain the same as what we saw last winter, because we're not expected to see much difference in margins just based on the amount of generating capacity and the amount of demand that they're expecting. However, when you actually look into the generation stack and what different types of technology we're going to see, that's when you start to introduce a bit of volatility, and maybe we actually will see much bigger spreads this winter than we saw last winter. So this bigger reliance on wind generation could cause a lot more periods of low prices, negative prices. We've also got potential, if we're relying on nuclear a bit more as well. They had some outages last winter. If we see those again, that again could cause prices to potentially go up to accommodate for this. And then I'm not sure if you've mentioned this yet, but we have seen carbon prices, gas prices going up. So if we see that continue as well, that could kind of push
the top prices up as well. That would be interesting to see negative prices because we've got masses of wind and then really high peak prices because the gas is really high.
Yeah.
Which that would be great for batteries.
Yeah.
So on the generation stack, we had Ratcliffe retiring between last winter and this winter. So that's 1 gigawatt less of margin.
Mm-hmm.
And it might be seen as a fairly low cost plant compared to, say, gas peakers, which are filling in some of that gap.
Yeah.
So I think we'll probably see a little bit more scarcity pricing, even though the margin is similar.
Yeah.
Okay, so coming on to any major policy movements in the last 6 months, mm-hmm. I believe we had some pretty fruity capacity market results.
Yes, so in the capacity market, we could potentially see some update to derating factors, which could be very interesting following the recent T4 auction. So
these were the ones in March?
Yeah, so February they closed.
Okay.
So yeah, so we had the T4 auction for delivery year 2027-2028, in which 15 batteries with a duration of 9 hours won contracts, which was quite interesting because I didn't see anything about hours.
Famously not economical to build 9 hour systems.
So after some investigating, it was discovered that for quite a lot of them, probably all of them, they were entered with higher durations because they were able to essentially bypass some of the impacts of derating factors that we've seen recently. So derating factors have been going down. While the increase in derating factor between units of 0.5 hours of duration up to about 8.5 hours of duration has been linear, there's like one big jump between 8.5 and 9 hours.
Right.
And if you entered as a 9 hour unit, you effectively saw about a 36% increase in your contract value compared to entering as your nameplate duration.
36% higher.
So that
when you're facing derating factors of like 11%, that makes a huge difference.
Exactly. Yeah. So
we might see some reforms because that's probably not what the policy intended.
Yes. So and not just to get around that, but also the fact that battery derating factors probably were lower than they should have been.
Mm.
And there's a lot more operational data available now. There was also recommendations from the panel of technical experts. So altogether, the ESO are in a much better position to design derating factors for batteries. And yeah, so we could potentially be seeing some increases which would affect the next set of auctions. So your T1 for 2025, 2026 and T4 2028, 2029.
Okay, awesome. That probably brings us on nicely to have a very quick roundup of REMA as well. So the second consultation of REMA was launched and closed in the last 6 months, so between March and May. We did a fairly in-depth podcast on this a little while ago, myself, Wendell and Ed. So do check that out if you are super interested in REMA and what the review of electricity market arrangements looks like. But the headlines are on the kind of wholesale price. So looking at whether we have a national wholesale price as now or reforming that into a locational price, either with zonal or nodal. This was one of the big headlines of the first consultation. Nodal is out and zonal is still on the table, as well as the national price. Central dispatch is still an option in some kind of situations in the wholesale reform. So this is when the system operator would be dispatching all of the assets, which is typically what you see in a nodal market. You see it in Australia and a lot of the American markets. I think it's probably unlikely to happen and we're more likely to stay with self-dispatch given a lot of the conversations that we heard through lots of the REMA events. So it'd be interesting to see what the consultation comes up in that respect. The other thing that was kind of talked about quite a lot was around the length of settlement periods and the length of gate closure. So we had it looks like we might get shorter settlement periods, which is better suited to things like renewable intermittent generation. It's a more efficient market dispatch essentially because you have more accuracy about actually what your renewables will be delivering if you shorten down the market, you know, the kind of timelines that you're looking at. However, a shorter gate closure. So currently gate closure is an hour. That means that everyone has to tell National Grid an hour ahead of time what they're going to do. That doesn't look like it will get shortened because of the IT systems in the control room not being kind of able to cope with ensuring that the system will be balanced with just an hour's, with less than an hour's timeline, which kind of limits some of the positives of having shorter settlement periods. There's also a bunch of reforms in the capacity market and for the CFD, which will come through, looking at kind of minima and deemed CFD payments and minima in the capacity market. So do go check out that podcast, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see what the results look like. Hopefully we'll get those in the next 6 months.
Perfect.
And just to wrap up, I think we can't not mention the election.
Yes.
So we're filming this on the 4th of July. So we are likely to have a new government this time tomorrow. So I think they might have a completely different stance on all things net zero.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it'll be interesting to see kind of how, what a new government would bring to the energy industry, particularly, to be frank, if it is Labour, what their, is it Great British Energy?
Great British Energy.
Yeah, yeah. What that means and what that would provide. So yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what changes.
Yeah, having some, yeah, exactly. There's some pretty, to be fair, actually, in the Tory manifesto as well, but some quite optimistic scenarios that they've put out in terms of the amount of solar on the system and wind on the system, and how we actually manage to put that on the in the ground by 2030.
Okay.
But hopefully it will give just a massive boost to our industry, because the last 6 months, last year or so, and particularly after a fairly weak COP, you know, you do see quite a lot of impacts of that on the ground, and yeah, it'll be great if we actually have a bit more oomph behind us as an industry and actually getting to net zero, like we all know we need to do, as quickly as possible.
But I guess we can wrap it up there. It's been a really interesting conversation, actually. A lot of things have happened over the past 6 months, and I reckon we'll see a lot more changes to come over the next 6 months as well. And thank you for listening. Remember to like, comment and subscribe, and let us know if there's anything that you'd like to hear on the podcast too.
Thank you for listening to Transmission, a Modo Energy podcast. Transmission delivers conversations from industry leaders and experts exploring energy markets and the operations and technologies related to grid-scale battery energy storage. Check out our other episodes by searching Transmission wherever you get your podcasts. Check out the Energy Academy, our video crash course on how markets in Great Britain and ERCOT work, or head to modoenergy.com to see our written research.